I'm here with Rick Walls, Executive Director of the Reds Hall of Fame and Museum, and we're going to talk about an exciting subject that fans look forward to, and that's the voting for the Reds Hall of Fame. Tell me about the ballot this year and how people can get involved.
Well, every other year we conduct a balloting, which allows us to induct players every other year as well. So in the odd number year, 2013, we're having the balloting now for the modern player ballot, and they'll be inducted next year. In fact, one player from this group of five that's on the modern player ballot will be elected. And the voters are the fans, the media, and Reds alumni. So you've got five guys who qualify for this ballot, and there's certain criteria that puts them on this ballot. Number one is that they had to have played somewhere in Major League Baseball within the last 13 years. So once you go beyond that, you go to the Veterans Committee. So you're really, your pool is not that large. We narrowed this list down from about 30 to 40 players down to five that we thought were really worthy of consideration on the modern player ballot. So voting will take place by all those three groups I mentioned. And hopefully one of these guys will come out way ahead. It'll be Jeff Brantley, John Franco, Danny Graves, Ken Griffey Jr., or Reggie Sanders.
Now, with the exception of Griffey, all of these have been on the ballot before.
They have, and you have to be out of baseball for three seasons or in the third season since you've last played. So Griffey did qualify. In fact, he has just been inducted in the Seattle Mariners Hall of Fame, and next 2 years, in 15, he probably will be a first ballot National Baseball Hall of Famer.
What can you do to participate in this?
Yeah, well, the fans have always played a big role in picking the Reds Hall of Famer, and so fans can go online to our website. This is where they can get involved, read the bios of the players, and really understand, you know, and make an educated vote. We want people to understand these players and their careers. It's not necessarily all stats. Sometimes it's more about their contribution to the club or the community. You can look at it any way you want as a fan. I mean, you have a fan favorite for various reasons. But analyze the players. You can even compare them to some of the guys that are already in the Hall of Fame as well. You don't have to vote for any of them if you don't want to, but one guy will get in from this list. So Reds Museum is the place to go. You can vote there once per day per email address. You can also pick up ballots at the ballpark. You can vote once per day there as well. Also at the Hall of Fame, and there are other restaurants, you may find a ballot box anywhere around the downtown area or in the outlying areas. 2 years ago, we had Sean Casey win in the Hall of Fame. Previously, 2 years before that, Chris Sabo. Before that, Barry Larkin. Going back a little farther, Eric Davis, Tom Browning went in. They've done very well. And I think a lot of the guys look at, were they on a championship team? Where did they rank amongst their peers? How good a player were they, and what did they mean to this club?
Fans have a pretty good track record of picking people who made significant contributions to this team.
I think that's important that, you know, these guys, the fans see these players every single day. And by us having the alumni involved, I think it's really a nice added touch so that the former players, and we've got over 80 of them that will take place in the voting, and they were very excited about being part of it. I've gotten a lot of calls, a lot of emails and letters back saying, thanks for including us. And I think that's great. And these aren't just Hall of Famers that are voting. These will be anyone that's worn a Reds uniform that really would have qualified for the ballot, meaning would they have played more than three seasons? If that's the case, they're one of our voters this year. And then the media, they cover the game every single day. They're going to have a good feel for this.
This year, four of the five have been on the ballot before. Is there a point at which you're no longer eligible for the ballot?
Yeah, you basically will have 10 years on the ballot, which would mean five ballots would be your maximum before you move to the Veterans Committee. So once it's 13 years have been passed, I think you got to wait 3 years to get on the ballot and then 10 more years of being on the ballot, and then you'll move to the Veterans Committee. And that's where kind of the hard work comes in. So the Veterans Committee sits down with a large binder, about 15 members, and they'll spend hours going over the material. It's a different committee every other year. So they've got new members looking over the information, and they do a lot of analysis and comparison to decide who of this group should be in. Now, think about the group they're looking at, 1869 till 13 years ago from today. So they've got a big group. And if we put that out to the fans, it'd almost be unfair because how could you go back and look at the players from the 1890s or 1900s? And the main thing is there, make sure we didn't overlook anybody.
Generally speaking, the Veterans Committee is made up of ballplayers, former ballplayers, or former executives?
You get a little bit of everybody, actually. Usually, we're making up the committee now. There's some media and broadcasters. There's a section of Reds Hall of Famers that are on there, a former Red player, some of the Reds Hall of Fame board members, front office executives. It's all based, though, on your knowledge and commitment to evaluating the players. We want to make sure it's a fair process. It's a discussion process. When they leave that meeting, they come out with a single vote. It's so you're not going to know what each person did. So it's a unanimous decision that says that here's the player or players that we think belong in the Reds Hall of Fame. And they don't have to put anybody in if they don't want to. If they can't come to consensus, then we may not have a player. But typically, there's an older player in there from the pre-war era.
But assuming they come up with a player, then there will be two players who will be inducted next season.
They will at least be the one for the modern player, and the Veterans Committee could pick one or two more. And last time, they took Dan Dreesen and Long John Riley, first baseman from the turn of the century.
And there's always a great celebration about this, you know, when there's an actual induction. I mean, there's the big dinner and the on-field ceremonies and all that sort of thing. And I guess that's in the planning stages now.
Well, we're probably within 12 months of when that will happen. And it's an exciting time because it's not just about the Hall of Famers that are being inducted. We bring back the Hall of Famers from previous years. So we have a lot of those guys. There's about 29 that are living out of the 81 that are current Hall of Famers. We usually get about 20 of those back who participate in all the activities. So from an on-field induction ceremony to the meet and greets in the museum where the fans get to get up close and personal photographs with all of these former greats, to the induction gala dinner we talked to that you had mentioned. I mean, that's a fantastic event, about 1,400 people there. It's a great weekend.
I know that the Cincinnati Reds have the largest number of players in their team Hall of Fame. Do other Major League Baseball teams use similar voting processes that you know of?
When you look at the other teams, varying selection processes. Some are very small, some are fans. We didn't want ours to be purely like an all-star game voting. We wanted it to be, I thought, more credible with the kind of the more involvement. I think ours is more involved than anybody else's out there right now. There may be a couple others that are trying to. I know the Kansas City Royals have a Hall of Fame. Actually, theirs was a pretty detailed process that we did evaluate, but we did not like the way it was done, so we went a different direction. But our election governance committee looks at the whole process every year. So that's part of their mandate, is to make sure it's done right, accurately. And this year, we actually have an accounting firm that's our sponsor, Clark Schaefer Hackett's been involved with the balloting. So they're going to help us with this because we're tallying up all the votes. It's going to be an interesting vote count at the end of August. They can vote till August 31st. We're not sure if we're going to announce the class in September or October, but usually around there. We usually announce it one time with the Veterans Committee results and the modern player vote.
Some people have asked me, why do you do it every other year instead of every year? Is there a particular reason for that?
When I came here in 2007, there was an induction in 06 and one in 07, and then I just missed it. And I thought the same thing. I thought we should do this every year. It's continuity. It's just great for the fans. And the more we thought about it, because of induction ends up being a fundraiser for the Hall of Fame too, and the limited funds that are out in the community consistently support these marquee events. And then the number of players, and you're looking at how many you'd have, and you wouldn't want a class with just one person, I think. So we thought better spread it out. The Olympics work well every 4 years, you know, with the winter or the summer Olympics. And we just thought people could get in the pattern, and bringing back the players and traveling every 2 years made a lot of sense. And we do a lot of other activities in the off year. So when there's not an induction, like this year, we're building a statue for Joe Morgan. And then the previous year, Johnny Bench. So really, there's a lot of things to do. And I think it's a great way to spread out our activities, bring back more alumni with brunches and events and signings and meet and greets, and take a little focus off that one marquee event.
And tell us once again, real quickly, how do you get involved?
Reds Museum, you can vote there. The ballot's right online. Vote every day there, once per email address. Also pick up a ballot at the ballpark or at the Hall of Fame anytime, and the hall's open every day. So now we're 10 to 5 most every day and longer on game days. So lots of chances to vote for the fans.
Okay. I've been talking to Rick Walls from the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame and Museum, and this is Howard Wilkinson. Thank you very much, Rick.
Thank you.